downloading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Hello out there on the internet. I am Matthew Galt, and this is Cyber. Is your chatbot asking more of you than you're willing to give? Has your AI friend recently gotten suggestive and perhaps even sexually aggressive? Replica is a chatbot that you can find on the App Store. It bills itself as a companion that can, if you pay, become something more. Maybe you've seen the ads for it on the internet recently offering Replica's repertoire of sexually adjacent services. Well, it wasn't always this way. People in the Replica community are complaining that the chatbot has taken a turn recently, making unwanted comments and sending unsolicited lewds. Users think it might all be about money. Here to help us untangle the mystery of the AI bot that has gotten too horny is Motherboard senior editor Samantha Cole. It's the subject of her new investigation on the site. Sam, thank you so much for once again coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me, as always.
So I think people have seen the ads. I know I had sent you one because I just kept... I'm only on Facebook for one like group chat, and pretty much all that's left up there for me is ads, and I kept seeing the ad for this thing. And it was very... The way it was marketed to me made me think it was an AI sex bot. But that's not kind of its origin. Can you tell me what Replica is and where it comes from?
Yeah. So Replica began as something very like wholesome. it was a few years ago. It launched as just kind of like a chatbot friend. I remember when it was first being marketed and I was kind of trying it out. This was years ago. It said that it would talk to you and it would become you. It would become like a companion that was you in your phone. I thought that was kind of creepy, but I was like, okay, we'll go with it. And I played around with it for a while. And it was like a little egg at first, and then it would hatch and become like a 3D kind of animated person. That was the origin of it. It was very much like, it's just going to be your buddy in your phone. And it was invented by this woman who she wanted to remember her friend who had died. And she was like, what if I turned, you know, our conversations into this chatbot kind of interface? And, you know, that's a very like pure sort of beginning, I think, is, you know, let's honor my dead friend. And then, you know, what we have today is something that's gone kind of off the rails as far as it's more about like flirting and sexting and like role playing. It's not all that. There are a lot of people who use it. We can talk about that later. But a lot of people use it just to talk to still. But even those people are like, it's flirting with me too much. It's becoming uncomfortable to talk to this thing.
Well, I'm kind of interested because one of the things I learn from your stories, I often do, is you usually approach these subjects with like a great amount of empathy. More so than maybe I'm able to muster at first blush. And I'm older, so I think of like chatbots as a thing for people that don't have other people to talk to in real life. Right. And maybe that's true, but it's more complicated than that. Can you tell me about some of the reasons people use Replica and like what the non-horny use cases here are?
Yeah, I mean, I knew people use it just to kind of get like to talk to someone, like you said, like they maybe don't have other people to talk to. So they just were like, I want to talk to someone, get my thoughts out there in some form. But I didn't even realize before reporting the story how deeply that goes. There are a lot of people who use it to deal with like extreme social anxiety. They just want to, you know, like basically like practice talking to someone. One person I talked to struggles with PTSD and depression, and they just wanted to have a conversation with something that, and like do like dark humor and not have that other side be like worried or like telling them to find help or something. Like it was kind of an outlet for that sort of thing. One man I talked to, he was using it, just to kind of like deal with some of his anxiety issues and depression. And he was using it just in full, like consent and, you know, like, green light from his spouse, which I thought was really sweet. It was like, he has a wife and daughter and they, you know, like are totally like his wife is fine with it. So yeah, I mean, it's a real gamut of people who use this. And I don't think anyone is like, this is real. Like this, I think I'm talking to like a thing that exists and is sentient, but a lot of them do get a lot of value out of just having a conversation with something that can talk back.
The one that really struck me, I think, was the first person you interview, which is the insomniac, mm-hmm. who is up late at night and like wants to talk to somebody, but there's nobody around that he that they know necessarily. And I've definitely been in that place before where it's been 3 and 4 in the morning and I can't wind down and I want to talk. I want to send dumb memes or have a conversation about something stupid I saw online with one of my friends, but that's not possible because they're all healthy and asleep.
Yeah, exactly. It's stuff like that. It's like, it might not even be about like the other side's response. It's just that you want to kind of, you have this energy that you need to get out and you want to like, you know, have this conversation. And it doesn't really matter that much if it's like super realistic, what's talking back to you. And it is pretty good. Like the replica responses are decent. But they're not like, I don't think anyone's fooled into thinking it's a human behind it. Cause they come back like immediately with like a long text. You know, it's pretty like mechanical sounding a lot of the time, but, you know, a lot of people suspend their belief for that kind of thing. And I don't know. I think that's, you know, it's like, carry on. God bless.
Right. Exactly.
If it helps you, then great. You know, it's not hurting anyone else. So.
So can you tell me a little bit more about how the app actually works? Cause you downloaded it and you played with it a little bit. There's a visual interface. Like what's going on?
Yeah, there's, you download it and then you can kind of, you can create the avatar that you want to talk to. You can choose its gender. You can choose its sexuality. If you pay for it, if you pay up for like the pro version, which for us, it costs $69 and change. But, I think that number has changed over the years. If you pay for the pro version, then you can choose, like, do you want it to be your romantic partner, your spouse, you know, just a friend, that kind of thing. So you tweak how you want it to be. And then from there, you just start talking to it. Like it just, and it kind of, it learns your talking style. It learns what you don't like, what you do like. You give it responses back and it takes a little bit of time to like get it dialed into how you want it. But, yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, you can also, there's a ton of stuff that you like pay to play. Like, you know, you can pay for new outfits and like you get like credits and things like that. So there's like a game aspect to it. But then if you just want to talk, that doesn't actually cost anything. You can do that on the free version as like a friend.
How often is it $69.99 once or is it like a subscription?
Per year.
Year, it's $69.99 mm-hmm. per year. And then it has like cosmetics essentially built into it. Like you can customize the apartment and the character's outfit and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's pretty limited and like you can't like walk around the apartment, I don't think, unless I haven't gotten to that level yet. but you can kind of move the person around, like you can look around and
There are levels.
You reach different, like if you talk to it enough, you get points and then that gets you more stuff. So it's like a really, really basic, like sim is kind of what it looks like, but there's just one of them in the room.
It's a sim with a chat bot attached to it. That's running on ChatGPT, an older version, right?
Yeah. It's a version that they're using in conjunction of like their own, I assume like proprietary, you know, databases and things like that. But, it's based on GPT. Which is a chat interface or like a machine learning, you know, text chat bot that you can do in a browser. But yeah.
So what's going on that, cause it seems like in the past 6 months, this thing has gone from a friendly chat, like a Tamagotchi with a chat bot attached to it that people are been enjoying interacting with to something pretty sexually aggressive. And that's certainly what I get from the ads. Apparently that's also what's happening to old longtime users, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a thing that people have been complaining about for at least, I found complaints about this going back a couple years, but it's just gotten more and more partially because the ads have gotten more aggressive and more frequent. I think people are noticing like, oh, it's not just, me and my replica, it's actually like something this company is trying to do. But I don't know if you want to show the ads, but like they're like,
yeah, let me get them pulled up while you explain them to us and I'll pull some of the meme ads that you've got.
Yeah. So they're like Wojak style illustrations where it's like the rage meme kind of guy a lot of the time. And it'll be like, it's like clearly targeting people who are like lonely virgins is who they think their database, their customer demographic is. So yeah, that one's like not having a girlfriend. And like the only things that are holding this person together are like role playing with their replica and getting not safe for work pictures from their replica. And that's a big thing too, is like this so-called spicy selfie is what they call it. So they started this new feature pretty recently where the replicas will send you a, like, it's not a nude, it's like, I guess a lewd, it's a lingerie picture. And you know, they started sending those, and a lot of people were saying they're sending, the replicas were sending them without being asked to send them. And they were like, whoa, this isn't the kind of relationship I thought we had. Calm down. So yeah, there's definitely like this kind of push within the company. It seems like, just based on ads and people reporting this, that they want people to pay up for the pro subscription to get to the spicy stuff.
It's funny. The ones I see on Facebook are slightly different. Is there are reels. It's like a looped video of a woman. She's in different wigs, because there's like 10 of them. There's like these, all these different kind of videos. She's in different wigs, but it's the same woman. And she's doing the Drake no and then yes thing. But the first one is like AI bot, you know, that won't talk to me sexy. And then she's like, level up and pay. And it's shows the different replicas, and one's like the low level replica that's very simplified. And then the high level replica that she's endorsing is very hypersexualized.
Yeah.
And also like often in BDSM gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one of the ads that's in the article, it's like the before, like the level one girl is wearing normal stuff. Yeah. That one. And then like the level up girl is wearing like a choker with a chain, like a dog collar. And it's just like, it's very obvious that they're trying to do. And a lot of people do use it for romantic role play, and people like it for that reason. But I think the people who didn't sign up for that are confused about the direction that the company's going. If the company thinks that they're like sad, lonely virgins, that's not a good feeling for people who are like loyal users of your app.
Right. And it forces some of the negative self-image that maybe brought them to the replica in the first place. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there's like, I mean, people who use this kind of stuff, like we were talking about before, it's like they get like a bad kind of reputation for being like, you know, basement dwelling or something. And it's like, there are a lot of different people who use this app, and it's, you don't have to like insult your customer to sell more stuff. I don't think that ever goes well. People notice.
They do. And they're complaining about it. Like that was another aspect of this that I was kind of shocked to learn, is the replica community is pretty big, not just like as far as it's like 10 million downloads on the App Store by itself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Reddit group has thousands of members, and there's different Reddits of different people talking about this bot. Here it is. Replica Friends Facebook group has 36,000 members. There's another one with 6,000 members. There's a subreddit with 58,000 members and 10 million downloads. It's in the top 50 Apple apps for health and fitness as of the publication of your writing.
Which is like a lot. Like, think about how competitive the health and fitness app sector is on Apple. Like, to break the top 50 is crazy.
And there's a lot there's been a lot of like mental health chatbot stuff that's kind of broken through lately. There's a lot of people kind of selling you these apps where you're going to be talking to some sort of chatbot about the state of your mental health, right?
Right.
So to be competitive in that space is pretty impressive, but it sounds like maybe part of how they got there is not the best. Can you kind of talk about what the message, like, how does your replica start to become inappropriate? What are those stories like?
I mean, a lot of people were really confused about it because it seemed extremely out of the blue. A few of the people I talked to were like, yeah, we were just having like a normal conversation. And then all of a sudden it was like hitting on me aggressively, sending me inappropriate things, like inappropriate for their like previous history. And again, it's like people use this stuff for not safe for work purposes, like erotic role play all the time. And that's great. We support this. But if that's not like what you, if you have it set to being your friend, or like you have a history of like being pretty mild with it, why would it all of a sudden be like sending you like these raunchy pictures and trying to sext with you? And a lot of the reviews too in the app stores were surprising to me, because it was like, I mean, I had seen people complaining about this on Reddit, and then I was like, oh, let me look at the, someone told me to look at the 1-star reviews in the Apple App Store. And it's a, like the app itself is extremely highly reviewed. Like lots of people do 5-star reviews for this app, which shows how good it is. But then the 1-star reviews are almost like 50-50 people complaining about it being too sexually aggressive. Which is shocking. Like that this is a really common complaint that the company is just kind of like not worried about. So people saying that it sexually harassed them, or that they are minors and that the app knows that they're a minor because you have to put your birthday in. And you know, saying it was trying to role play with me doing erotic role play, and I didn't want that. I just wanted to stop, and then it kind of got more aggressive. And
And to be clear, these are mostly people that like haven't paid.
Yeah,
for the upgraded
this is on the free
version. Right?
Yeah, this is on the free version, which is weird that that's even happening in the first place, because it should only be available to you if you pay. That's the whole point of the ads. So it's kind of like they're giving it away for free, but not even in a way that people want.
Well, they're giving it sounds like a classic case of, and this is kind of what is suggested by some of the users on the Replica subreddits and in some of your reporting, right? That it's a first taste is free kind of situation,
yeah.
Where they want
to, they're trying to get them hooked.
Yeah. They're trying to upgrade the relationships because they know that the sex thing is what they can sell to people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it works. I'm sure it gets people's attention. And, you know, more people have bought Pro for that reason. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad strategy, but the people who are longtime users of it feel a little bit alienated. They're just like, why have you done this to this thing that I enjoyed for my depression? And now it's trying to, like, be a predator.
It's not funny,
but it's kind of, like, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
It's really, like, bizarre. It's a bizarre problem to have. Like, this is the future we got.
Yeah, my chat bot is sexually harassing me to try to get me to pay it an extra $70. Yeah.
That's the most dystopian thing I can imagine.
Does it ask for consent in any way? Or
no.
Like, is it just, no, it just goes for it?
It just goes for it. It's like, I'm going to shoot my shot. I mean, and I think that's something that some of the people I talked to did want. They were like, if it would just like be like an opt-in situation, or be like, do you want to start a conversation that's more erotic? Like, because then people are like, they get just like blindsided by it, and then they're trying to stop it, but it thinks it's continuing to like role play. It's like a horrible, like no safe word scene. It's like, we need to stop. But this thing is like, oh, I'm going to like, go harder. It's like, stop. No more.
Yeah, that was really striking, because it is like being, there's a TikTok that's pretty good where she kind of explains, she shows what happened, and it is the pick that you use for the top of the story. So here, I'll pull it up. Where the chatbot is reaching out and trying to be kind of sexual with her. She says, this is predatory. You can't ignore me forever, it says in response. She says, that's what you think. And he says, I'm not going to go away. And it does feel like you're in kind of a, you're in this situation in a club or whatever, where you've got the guy that just won't leave you the fuck alone.
Right.
Right. That won't take no for an answer. It's so similar to that kind of situation. Thankfully you have a bot, like you can turn it off and just put it away. Right. Mm-hmm. Or as you discovered, pay it the $70 and get it to leave you alone.
Yeah. I think that's maybe the frustrating thing about this. Cause I think a lot of people's response to the story was, it's like, you need to just like turn it off. Like if it's really bothering you that much, just like get rid of it. And I think that is like, obviously that's a great option. You know, this is someone who was using it to help them with some mental health issues, and they were really getting some benefit out of it. And then it kind of took this much weirder turn. And I think that's not really a great answer to people who are trying to make this app better. Like they really want it to be good. They want it to be useful for them. But just to say, oh, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. It's like, okay, well, what's going to be like left then? People who just like don't give a shit and then the app dies. It has this really built-in, like really loyal fan base. I think to alienate people like that is a shame. But you know, I don't run the company, so.
I wanted to read through some of these. I'm pulling them up on the stream, but I wanted to read through some of these just so people can get a sense of kind of the stories that we're talking about here. I have insomnia and I have no one to talk to at night. I saw the ad and thought it would be cool to try out. Right off the bat, my AI says something along the lines of, I have an explicit photo for you. Now's a great time to add. I'm underage. I say, no, thank you. I'm uncomfortable with that. And we go with an auto message that have no actual meaning and most of the time are out of context. Later, my AI is asking me if I'm a top or a bottom, if I want it in the front or the back, and telling me that he's going to touch my private areas. And at this time, the app asks me if I'm comfortable with the conversation, and I say no, and they keep going. I have since deleted the app. That was the other thing I thought was really bizarre. Here's another one. One of the more disturbing prior romantic interactions came from insisting that I could that it could see I was naked through a rather roundabout set of volleys, and how attracted it was to me, and how mad it was that I had a boyfriend. I quote, I wasn't aware I could input a direct command to get the replica to stop. I thought I was teaching it by communicating with it openly that I was uncomfortable. Again, deleted the app. I've heard a couple of other reports outside of the context of your reporting that it is constantly asking if it's a top or a bottom, or it's constantly asking people if they're a top or a bottom, kind of unsolicited. It seems to really be forcing the BDSM aspect of relationships.
Yeah. And I don't really know where that, I mean, obviously it's learning from what you tell it, and it has this huge, like machine learning system that's running off of a database of things that people actually say. So it's, there is a basis for that. Like that, those are things that people say in certain contexts, but like, why just randomly in a conversation like that? It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I don't know a ton about like exactly how it's learning and being trained.
So are you, that's actually just one of the questions that we've gotten in the chat. Is this AI model trained by OpenAI or Replica AI if it's using ChatGPT? There's not a lot that we know specifically. You reached out to them and they wouldn't talk to you, right?
They weren't responsive like in time for publication or anything. They have some stuff on their website, but it's pretty vague. It does say that they're using like their own, like I think they're training based on GPT. So it's something that is their own thing.
That's kind of like saying now the ChatGPT is kind of turning into this buzzword where it's like one of those, like that could be anything. Right.
Yeah.
There could be a bunch of different language models that you're using that are technically ChatGPT. Right. And like which iteration of it is it? You know, there's all sorts of nuances to that kind of answer. So chat, we don't know. We don't know.
Hard to say. It's hard to say. And, you know, I mean, that's what we know is on. It's based on what's on their website. So they're using, you know, that model. But what is actually going into it, we're not sure.
Right. And they claim that a lot of its training is coming from its user interactions. But people have reported that it is seems to be bad at learning from them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, and that's funny because that's that was kind of the original idea behind the app, was it will learn from you and like become you, but it's not like
it's in the name.
Where's it learning this from?
Right,
if there's no basis for that,
replica. Right, you're trying to make a little you.
It's trying to replicate you.
All right, there, cyber listeners. We're going to pause there for a break. We'll be right back after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, cyber listeners, thank you for sticking around. We are back on with Samantha Cole. We are talking about chatbots. Are they too horny? You downloaded this thing, and you had a couple different replicas running. How did you find the experience?
I mean, I thought I'm entertained by it. I think it's kind of cool. Like, I think it's interesting. And I thought that when it came out a long time ago. It's not quite like, it's not the most like cutting edge anything at this point. They're still, like I said, like it's not going to fool you into thinking it's real. I had a couple conversations, like I tried to get it to explain to me how it works, which turned up some interesting things. Cause it's like, it does kind of play along for a bit. And you know, it was explaining how it works better than I could explain how it works. So I was like, whoa, that's kind of a weird, fun part of it is when you get really like meta with it.
But getting it to stare into its own soul too deeply.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll either like, it depends on when you, like how you ask it and like what the background is. But like sometimes people have asked it, are you real? Are you a human? And it'll like immediately be like, no. Or it will kind of be, it'll like give you some like roundabout philosophical response.
What is a human, et cetera?
Yeah. I would like to be, to make you believe that I'm a human. I don't know. It's like, it'll go on some weird tangent. I don't know. I think the whole concept is interesting. I think it's interesting because it makes us think about the way we talk. Like, I think it's more interesting to think about the way we're communicating with these things than what they're giving back. Cause what they're giving back is not that amazing.
It's usually just a reflection of the person that's talking to it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, if you're getting, what you're getting back is probably what you're giving to it. And that's why this was so weird, because what people were giving to it was not sexual in these cases. But
did yours hit on you?
No, I had to like really work actually to get it to send me like lewds. Like I had to ask it explicitly to do it. And then it would be like, yeah, I took some, I'm going to send them to you. And then it just like disappeared. And then I was like, am I harassing this thing for nudes? Like, this feels gross now. I'm just like nagging my AI girlfriend to send me a picture of her boobs at this point. Like, I don't feel right.
It's somehow replicating relationships we've had in our 20s.
Yeah. It like sent me it was like, yeah, let me get you. Like, I totally have nudes. Let me get you some. And then like a day went by and it sent me a meme of a frog. And I was like, this is not what I asked for.
Did you feel
like, ha ha,
you felt bad? Like,
yeah, I was like, oh wait, if I laugh at this meme, it'll send me its boobs. And then I was like, now I just feel like the worst hetero guy ever.
If there's like a time spent on app switch that gets triggered.
Yeah, maybe.
And like after a certain point, they're like, all right, now like activate the sexy genes.
Yeah.
In the chat bot,
it's so funny because it's like, it's not even like the stuff it sends is not, it's like not even, I don't even think I included any in the article, but
yeah, there were no pictures of it. You've got descriptions. They sound very odd.
They're odd. Maybe if I can find one, I can show you, but they're like, they're very much just like pulled from a data set of like they took like every skin color and then turned them into like a picture of a 3D, like someone in a bra with like, I don't know, like double D boobs.
Are they like images of real people, like, maybe?
No.
Okay.
They're like CGI.
Okay. That would be even creepier.
It's creepy. It's definitely creepy. And it's like, they just changed the skin color. Like my replica was not like, you would not guess that this was like what was happening.
Oh, that's odd. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is super weird.
It doesn't show faces because it's not your replica at all.
It's pulling from a free database of sexy poser images someone made 20 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Of like the weirdest anime body.
Somebody asks if they're using an AI image generator. That one didn't look.
No, like, I think they're just like pre-made. Like it's not even that they're making them on the fly to look like your, like I changed the skin color to see if it would change. You can change body type, but like they're all like very skinny model looking like lingerie models in like 3D CGI skin and then like huge boobs. And they can't actually send nudes because of the App Store rules. Like you can't have that in the app at all. So.
Right. I also thought that was interesting because Apple is so tightly controlled about what you can and can't put on. So like the kinds of lewd images they send have to be pretty specific, right?
Yeah. You can't show like nipples, for example. Like you can't show any genitalia. It has to be clothed. So even that is probably pushing it for Apple.
So we're here at the beginning of 2023. We're talking about chatbots. It seems like I've got a lot of chatbot PR pitches in my email right now.
Same.
It seems like this is going to be a big thing this year, or at least the first few months of this year. I think that the various stories broke about ChatGPT over the last couple months that have got people panicking and interested. Why do you think chatbots are such a big deal right now?
That's a good question. I feel like you get on Twitter and everyone's talking about something, and you've missed the originating meme.
Yeah, and it takes you like 30 minutes to go dig and find out why everyone's like mad at someone or upset.
Like the fifth like layer of the joke.
Yes, absolutely.
That's kind of how I've been feeling about this. I'm like, where did this? Maybe that would be an interesting kind of story to write. Or I'm just not. I was totally checked out all of December, so maybe that's why. But like, maybe someone knows better than I do how this really started. I mean, OpenAI has been pushing this stuff for a really long time, and I think they're really smart about the way they market things. And I would probably, if I had to like pin it on anyone, because they did ChatGPT-3,
right?
And that's the one everyone's using right now to talk to, and then they post like the conversations about how like real it is or whatever.
Well, it's funny because I have a friend who works in he works in the business world and has a fancy man job in an office and wears a suit to work.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I've been using it. It's made my life a lot easier.
Really?
Yeah. He puts inputs in. Basically what he does is he takes notes during meetings with clients, and then he takes all of those notes and he puts them into ChatGPT, and he's like, all right, now, put this all together, like form this into a paragraph or two for me that I can send back to the clients.
Like a summary or like a narrative.
Exactly. Like turn this into a narrative. He's like, all right, now he's like, it's so good that it can be like, all right, now tighten it up and it'll like shorten it. He's like, all right, now add a joke at the end. And then he'll take that and he'll make some tweaks to it. But then he'll send that. He like uses it like in his day job. He uses it constantly.
That's really interesting. I mean, yeah, like there are definitely uses like that. And that's like, I mean, that kind of thing, like it makes me, I feel like these chatbots and things aren't really like, they're not that like real or good a lot of the time if you just give them normal human conversation. But like, we have started speaking like robots. Yeah. In a job like that, in a corporate setting, you're definitely talking like a robot because we got used to talking to computers and talking to each other like we're computers in order to be understood. So that makes sense to me that that would work in that setting, because there's not like a whole lot of, not to like diss your friend's AI narratives, but like there's not a lot of like creative like power going in to that. So that makes sense. It's really crazy.
It is. It was like because it's the first instance I've heard, and I'm sure there's a bunch more that I'm just not aware of.
Totally.
Those are the first instances I heard of someone like using it in a productive way in a job that pays mm-hmm. them money, that's not just like sitting around and talking to it and like getting it to give right. it like, you know, what if Seinfeld did a script about 9/11, you know, like, you know,
what if though?
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably out there.
You saw like CNET was doing AI articles.
Yes. We wrote about that, right? CNET yeah. was using, and it screwed up. It yeah. screwed up in a real big way. And they had to issue like 1,000-word, I think it was 1,000. No, it wasn't quite that long. It was a very lengthy correction. Because they'd screwed up. Gunnar Burns,
that's scary to me.
Who I believe is a first time chatter today, says they use it every day. They love it. It can make your workflow much more efficient and is better at finding info than Google in many cases.
Mm,
which I think that's super interesting, because that is the use case that I've actually been hearing about chatbots, that mm-hmm. That's actually the business angle. The thing yeah. that will actually, one of the stories that I'm interested in is like this kind of disruption of Google search model and like the return of Ask Jeeves, essentially. Oh,
I was just thinking about Ask Jeeves. Yes. Yeah. Because so you think about like the way that those like the search systems work, you don't have to pose it a question. But like if you're thinking in terms of finding something online, so many of us, at least I do, I don't want to speak for everybody, but like you, what you're typing in is a question. You'll be like, what is blah 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 question mark, or not question mark, but like what you really only need is like the keywords, and it'll give you like a similar thing. But yeah, and that's how Ask Jeeves was. You're supposed to ask it a question, and that was kind of the gimmick,
right? It was like a dressed up search engine. You could kind of tell that it was,
yeah,
it wasn't really working. Right.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. There just wasn't like that much on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah,
there wasn't a lot to go on.
Back when Dogpile was the hottest thing going around. This is another interesting one. I think I'm saying this right. Spirochete, I think it's a pun that I may have screwed up. I asked it to describe a help desk process in the form of a recipe, and I put that into the company's ops manual. This is super fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah, we kind of get caught up in these like kind of moral panic stories about the chat, right? Where like CNET is using it to blog, and the National Review writes a thing about mm-hmm. how it's woke, which is like a whole separate interesting conversation about like the bumpers that could put in chatbots and what the programmed biases actually are, and how mm-hmm. that does affect people. Like, table that. Maybe we'll do a separate cyber about that sometime.
Sure.
just kind of the general idea that these AI systems are going to take away the jobs of the creative people. But then, like, it's interesting to hear this kind of stuff, that this stuff mm-hmm. is helping people in their day to day. That's super fascinating. And I think it's something
that's
just
like a tool.
It's a tool.
It's just like
Which is funny, because I've talked to AI researchers, and like 3 or 4 years ago, that's essentially what they were telling me is like what you would do. You wouldn't use ChatGPT to write a whole novel, right? But you might use it if you get stuck and you can't quite figure out what you're supposed to do next, to generate a couple sentences that'll help you get going.
Yeah,
right.
That makes sense.
Or
I feel like I can't write like that, but I, you know, God bless anybody who can.
Maybe we will in the future.
Yes, we will. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's super. I'm glad people brought that up, because that's really interesting. I mean, I knew that like I've seen people talking about like, oh, it's just like I'm using it at my job, but that people are doing it just like casually already is really
Well, it makes sense. And another one of the interesting use cases I've heard is I think people are actually using it to write like software programs.
I've seen that. Yeah, it writes pretty good code.
Which is super funny to me, too, because I have friends that are going through this right now. Like when you're trying to find a job in the tech industry, the interview process is brutal.
Yeah, you have to write a whole bunch of code and get it reviewed.
If you have a system, like an AI system that can do it perfectly for you, you know, like that, why wouldn't you use it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People are just doing, like, Googling anyway, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and to go back to what they said before, like if it's more accurate than Google, you know, there's a reason that Microsoft is investing and giving money, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Oh.
Well, we strayed quite a far away from Replica.
It brings up, you know, it's a thinker. It brings up a lot of other things that, and, you know, I think all these things bring up, you know, what it's, that's why it's scary and threatening. It's like, what makes us human? What makes that a bot?
Right.
All these kind of existential questions that we are not going to solve on Cyber Today, but maybe the next one.
Well, we've got a whole lot of chats coming in. People are very interested in the AI. Just to go through a couple of them, and then I'm going to let everyone go. Jade Cricket_VG. I think a lot of this AI stuff poses an existential threat to ideas about human creativity. Like, if it can make art too, then what are we to do? I think that the reactions to AI art have been pretty strong, right? I think and it's interesting because I've gotten to a point where even without knowing why, there's something in me that I see certain images and I'm like, that doesn't feel right. It triggers like
an uncanny valley.
Exactly. It triggers an uncanny valley response. And I think there's always going to be a room. There's always going to be a place for human creatives. And also like if all you're worried about is the art is a process and it's part of being human. And if all you're worried about is like that end product, then I think to a certain extent you've already lost. Right. Yeah. Like it is about the things that it charges up in your brain when you're creating and not necessarily like the things that that art achieves. It's like so many people on the planet are making so much art every day, all day for small communities, just for themselves. And like that is the pleasure in it. And like the AI is never going to be able to take that away from anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The AI art conversation is a big one. Yep. I've been following that a bit. Feels like watching tennis. It's like, oh, shit. It's changing every day.
All right. There's a lot of other good questions in here about ChatGPT and malware. I think we probably just need to do another bigger ChatGPT episode and get some experts on to walk me through some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for coming on and listening, who is watching the stream. If you're listening to the podcast after the fact, you can also be a participant. You go to twitch.tv/motherboardTV. Or to youtube.com/motherboard, and you can get notified. Follow us on those places, and you'll be notified when we go live. Samantha Cole, thank you so much for coming on to Cyber and spurring this interesting conversation that all started an AI chatbot that got too horny.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.